The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today or maybe you're feeling a little shy, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer those questions over the air. Look us up on the web while you're online. www.hawaiianeye.com is the place to go. Just remember, Hawaiian Eye Show, hawaiianeye.com. And you can even find archived radio programs there from the past several weeks and months, and subscribe to our podcast to listen to the radio show on the go if you're not listening live. You can also find us at Twitter, twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, or facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. Lots of ways you can reach us or get our information. During the next hour, we'll discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ, and we'll have a lot of fun today. Remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor who specializes in the eyes. Now, we're going to try to be very consumer-oriented and make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice. But remember, since I can't see you through the telephone, I may have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. Hawaiian Eye Center does sponsor our program today as a public service, so sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. Well, this past week, my son, who is 14 now, was participating in a violin or a, let's say, a musical instrument workshop. And a whole bunch of young musicians, very talented 3 to 18-year-olds, were taking additional lessons and special programs in order to try to hone their skills in playing the different stringed instruments. And it was sponsored by the Suzuki, or it was a program sponsored by one of the Suzuki organizations here in Honolulu, which teaches young people to play stringed instruments. And so during the course of the institute, I had the opportunity to talk to some of the teachers, some of whom would accompany the students on the piano and some of whom would be doing other things. And one of the things that came up is that some of the pianists, some of the musicians find that at a certain time in their lives, it becomes more difficult to see the music on the page when they're reading music. So whether it's it seems to be related to where the music stand is located in space. So a pianist, your music is kind of a fixed distance away from you. And if you're having trouble seeing it, it may be that the focus at that particular distance is trouble, whereas your other focuses or your other vision may be fine. And the time that people tend to encounter this is when they start to become presbyopic. Presbyopic, presby meaning age, opic, eye disease, eye condition. So eye condition of age, presbyopia, means that your near vision or the close-up vision starts to fail. Now, you may have perfectly good distance vision, either with or without glasses, but your close-up vision is not as good. So after the close-up vision starts to go, then the mid-range vision starts to go as well. And many musicians require that mid-range vision to be able to read music, because the music on a music stand is not exactly the same distance from your eyes as the page of a book, for example. And it's not the same distance as the distance vision that you have to look at when you watch TV or when you drive and so forth. So there's what's called an intermediate range, where sometimes people start to have difficulty depending on what their visual needs are. Most of the rest of us have started having more trouble with this intermediate range as well as we've become more used to using computers. In computers, people are forced to look in the middle range as well. Now, it seems like our trend these days is moving away from computers and up toward handheld mechanisms, tablets, phones, smartphones, small tablets, large tablets, and these are used at reading distance. So reading glasses should help with those. If you're over 40, 45 and you need reading glasses, then the reading glasses should help with the smartphones and the tablets and the tablet PCs. But for a regular computer, you're looking at that intermediate range. And we used to prescribe for the intermediate range for people who played musical instruments, for example. We used to prescribe what we called piano glasses. And piano glasses were a type of lens that was focused specifically at the point where a pianist might need them. And usually what we do with piano glasses is we give people good distance or good focus for the middle distance where they need to see the notes on the page that they're reading. And it would be usually a bifocal so that they'd be able to also see near or up close to see what their fingers are doing on the keyboard, or to look at something more closely if they needed to. So it would be a bifocal that would give them a distance through or mid-range through the top part of the lens and near through the bottom part of the lens. Now, a standard bifocal gives you distance vision in the top part, like distance far away, like looking at the TV or something, and close up in the middle, in the close part, in the lower part of the lens, but it doesn't help you with the middle range very much. And so what most people are getting nowadays, which has kind of made this problem less of an issue, is a trifocal or a multifocal lens, what we call a progressive ad lens, a PAL lens or a progressive lens, which has actually a range of focuses in the lens itself so that there's a range of focus from your distance vision to your close-up vision with a steps or with a range in between. And people who wear these progressive lenses, they look like a single piece of glass. You don't see a line like the traditional bifocal line going through the middle of the glass, but they do have a range of focal points ranging from distance, good clear distance vision, TV, driving, movies, that type of thing, seeing people's faces in the distance, walking around and seeing the road signs as you're walking or driving. And that's distance vision, and they range from distance to middle range to up close or near. And if the progressive lens is fit properly to your particular face and your eyes and so forth, you should have a good range of vision ranging from far to near with steps in between to be able to see the computer, to be able to read, to be able to look in the distance and see the things that you need to see that are far away. The trouble with these progressive lenses occurs when in two particular types of issues that we see. One is that sometimes people can't really adapt to that variable focus. They see the distance okay, and they see up close okay, but when they turn their head or when they look in the middle or they look in through different parts of their lens, it's disorienting because the focus changes in different parts of the lens. And so for most people, they're able to adapt to this very easily, but there's about 5% of the population that puts these types of glasses on and says, oh, they make me feel uncomfortable, they make me feel nauseous, they make me feel off balance. And then you say, well, try them for a few days, and then a few days later they say it's still same problem. And so that's about 5% of the population that can't adapt to these progressive lenses. But the other trouble that we have with them is not so much that people can't adapt, but that the lenses aren't quite fitted right to their faces. And if that's the case and they're not looking through the right part of the lens for the right function of their vision, then that is going to be an issue as well. So you need to be able to see distance through when you're looking straight ahead. You need to be able to read when you're looking down. That's how they work. You need to be able to see mid-range somewhere in between. But if your glasses are sliding down on your nose, or they're not fitting quite right, or the lens is not centered properly for your eyes and for your face, then you're not going to be able to use those benefits of the distance, mid-range, and near vision. So sometimes it's up to us as eye specialists, whether it's an optometrist or an optician or an ophthalmologist, like myself, to look at how someone is wearing their glasses and how the glass is actually designed and try to figure out whether they're getting the maximum benefit from what that particular lens can do, because these lenses can do a lot, but whether you get the benefit from them or not usually depends a little bit on how well it fits your face and how well it's been planned and executed by the optician who has made the glasses in order to give you the best possible vision. So for people who are having difficulty with these types of lenses, we go through a series of steps to try to evaluate what the difficulty is, whether you have the wrong prescription, whether you're just it's not fitting your face right, whether you're looking through the correct part of the glass, or whether maybe you're just a non-adapter to this type of lens. Other people who don't adapt well to these types of progressive lenses are people who need to have near vision in other parts of the lens other than the bottom part. You know, so the average person will look distance through the top part of their lens, and then they'll read through the bottom part of their lens. And that's pretty easy. That's pretty straightforward. No problems there. But what if you're a plumber? And as a plumber, you have to work in an environment where you're actually looking at something above you, but it's something that's near. And so a plumber is not going to do very well in a progressive lens because their top part of their lens is a distance-focused lens, and so they're going to look at these bolts and things that they're trying to unscrew, or these pipes, and they're trying to figure out where the leak is, and they're going to look at them through the top part of the lens, which is distance, and it's not going to be comfortable because of the fact that they're not getting the right focus through the right lens. So different solutions for plumbers and other people who have certain visual needs. Let's take a short break. When we get back, we're going to talk about some eye news, so stay tuned.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
All right, this is Dr. Christopher Tortora. You're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, and we're talking about eyes. If you have a question about eyes, you can give us a call. 521-8383 is the number to call, and we'll be here to answer your calls if you're listening to us on a Saturday morning. The program is rebroadcast, and of course, we are available online at our website, hawaiianeye.com. You can also listen to the radio show live if you're out of the state or if you're in a place where you get poor reception by going online, iHeartRadio.com, or the iHeartRadio app on your favorite device that takes apps. All right, we've got some news stories here. I've got a story here talking about apps, an app to improve accessibility for the visually impaired people. It says here, whether it is getting off a bus or reading a menu, a new app aims to make it easier for the blind or visually impaired. Called George, the app for Android devices enables people with little or no sight to accomplish daily activities that could be difficult with them. Okay, so you can refer to your app by name. His name is George, or Georgie. So, hey Georgie, help me out here. Okay, the great thing that attracted me to creating the app was this notion of gaining confidence and also having reassurance that you could press a button and get help if you were lost, said Roger Wilson-Hines, co-founder of Screen Reader, a nonprofit based in Peterborough, England, that developed the app. Users navigate the app's feature by passing their fingers over various options which are read aloud. Lingering on a particular option produces a beep, indicating that that option has been selected. The app can make calls or send texts, but it also provides location-based technologies which can let users know, for example, when the next bus is coming, which direction they're facing, or the ability to set location-based reminders. You can actually record a GPS-tagged voice label to say, dangerous steps, and as you're approaching it, the phone will tell you there are dangerous steps there, explained Alan Dean Kemp, the chief technology officer. Kemp added that the app is not meant to replace seeing eye dogs, but is possible to provide added assistance. About 39 million people worldwide are blind, according to the World Health Organization, and 285 million people are significantly visually impaired. For Wilson-Hines, who is blind, one of his biggest struggles has been using public transit. He said, I used to struggle to know when to get off the bus every evening when I was coming home from work, he said, adding the app can give users information on upcoming bus stops while they are traveling. It also reads out text, such as the ingredients on a label using technology called optical character recognition. Wilson-Hines said what makes the app unique is the way it's designed for the less tech-savvy person and the support it provides. Interesting. Okay, we've brought them all together into a little bundle so that you're not switching in and out of apps, he says. Screen Reader is also selling Georgie smartphones, Android-based Samsung phones that come pre-installed with the Georgie app. Settings are such that you turn on the phone and the app starts. You can't get out of it unless you go through a sort of unlock feature to do so. At $230, the app is more expensive than most apps, but Kemp said the price includes support. You get a helpline which will set up your contacts if you want and even come train you, so there's a big support mechanism around it. So I'm not sure if this is available in the U.S. yet or just in Britain. Oh, here we go. It says the app is available worldwide in English. All profits generated by the app go to charity called Communication for Blind and Disabled People, of which Screen Reader is a subsidiary. Okay, that's quite interesting. So an app, so new technology that's helping people who are visually impaired to get around better. And it's actually, it's interesting what can be done with modern technology, with location services, with GPS, and all of these things which are now making it easier for people to figure out where to get on and off the bus. I think sighted people could use this as well. I know whenever I go to a foreign country, I am hesitant, or a foreign city, not even a foreign country, a foreign city, I'm hesitant to ride the bus because I never know where to get off the bus. And the difficulty is that on a train or a subway, for example, you know where it stops because it always stops the same place. It only goes a certain way. You know what the route is, and the stops are labeled. On a bus, you kind of have to figure out where you are on the surface of the city streets to know where you got to get off the bus. And so if you're not familiar with the city, you don't know where you're going, then that can be a little bit of a challenge. You know, riding the bus around Honolulu is not a big deal because I know my way around Honolulu very well. I've been living here for years, and so that's easy. But even the whole island of Oahu, even neighbor islands, probably be okay. But if I go to a city like Chicago and all of a sudden I'm riding the bus and I'm thinking, well, where do I get off? You know, the bus driver's not going to say, oh, get off at such and such and such and such here. I'll tell you where the stop is. The bus driver can't remember everyone's stop. Tell them where they are. Some buses, many new buses now, I notice in many cities now that technology is improving, and the buses have a little display at the front part of the bus that says you are approaching such and such a stop, next stop is such and such, so it tells you what the cross street is and what the stop is. And so that's something that I think is improving technologically, and I think some of these stop things also use the GPS technology to tell the bus where it is so that they can determine which stop is coming up next. So that's interesting. So having an app that will tell you where you are and what you need to bear in mind if you're visually impaired sounds like a good idea. So I didn't see specifically a web contact information for this particular app, but you could probably search on Georgie or Screen Reader, which is the name of the company that makes it, if you are interested in learning more about this app for the visually impaired. Okay, let's take some phone calls. Let's go to the phones. We've got Mike standing by. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Beth. Thanks for taking my call. The question I got is, are there any certain vitamins that really help the eye? Because I was watching a commercial on TV about lutein and fish oil, and do you recommend any kind of, or just to take a multivitamin?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Do you want me to just talk about that, and you want to hang up?
Or yes.
Okay, that's fine. Good. All right. So that's actually a very good question, because it's a common question that we get in the office about what types of nutrients are good for the eyes. And so there are certain conditions that affect the eyes that we do recommend certain types of supplements. But my feeling about supplements in general is that if you don't have a specific problem that you know will be benefited by the supplement, you probably shouldn't be using it, because there are so many different supplements, so many different things out there that you could say, oh, this is wonderful for this, and this is wonderful for that, and all of a sudden find yourself taking 10 or 20 pills every morning, and who knows what effect those are really having on your body. So these things are not studied terribly well. The Food and Drug Administration doesn't control or test the efficiency, the safety, the efficacy, effectiveness of supplements the same way it does of prescription medications. And so you don't really know what effect some of these things are having on your body. So I don't recommend taking just supplements because you've heard that they're good for you or this or that. There are certain specific indications, especially when it comes to the eyes, where certain supplements are very helpful. So for example, for people who have dry eyes, particularly when the dry eyes involve the glands along the base of the eyelids called the meibomian glands, and your eye doctor can tell you if you have this or not, the meibomian gland dysfunction associated with dry eyes tends to respond fairly well to omega-3 fatty acid supplements. And these can come in the form of flaxseed oil or fish oil or several other types of omega-3 fatty acids. And so that's something that's good to take if you have a specific problem with the glands that are creating a dry eye problem. Meibomian gland dysfunction, we call it MGD. So if you have meibomian gland dysfunction, taking omega-3 fatty acids is a good idea. As far as other supplements, there is evidence that taking certain antioxidant vitamins seems to be helpful in certain forms of macular degeneration. There are studies done that showed that a combination of vitamin A, E, C, and zinc in people who have early forms of dry macular degeneration tend to reduce the chance that they're going to go on to develop more problems with their eyes over time. So taking a supplement like an AREDS, AREDS formula of antioxidants, if you have dry macular degeneration, and this is also, again, something your eye doctor would tell you about, something that they need to look in your eye to determine whether you have this or not, then that's a good idea as well. Supplements like lutein, zeaxanthin, and others that bilberry, other things that are supposed to be healthful for the eyes, there's not a lot of strong proof for that, but probably there is some benefit to lutein and zeaxanthin for the health of the macula. So if there is evidence of early macular degeneration or any problems with the macula, then those particular supplements are probably reasonable to use. Now, what I usually recommend for people who want to just take something to keep their health as good as possible is that you can just take a regular multivitamin, and that's going to usually give you the broad range of things that you need that you may be missing in your diet. Of course, there's no substitute for eating a healthy, well-rounded diet, which is rich in fresh fruits and green vegetables, and vegetables in general, green leafy vegetables, dark green leafy vegetables in particular. If you're going to eat lettuce, you're better off eating the darker colored lettuces, like the greens or the darker lettuces, as opposed to, for example, an iceberg lettuce, a light colored lettuce, which really basically is like water with a little crunch to it. So if you're eating fresh fruits or eating green leafy vegetables, you know, your need for a vitamin supplement is probably limited. But if you feel like you can't always get the diet that you want, you want to make sure that you're getting the nutrients that you need, then a vitamin supplement is probably reasonable. And if you're concerned about your eyes, many of these vitamin supplements now do contain lutein, which is supposed to be helpful for the back of the eye. So that's my recommendation generally as far as supplements and the eyes. In general, what I'd recommend is to go ahead and check with your doctor, your eye specialist, and find out if you have any conditions which might benefit from certain nutritional supplements. And then if so, then they will recommend the specific types of things that might be helpful. As far as taking omega-3 fatty acids. If you're eating some fish a few times a week, that's probably getting you enough, but many people don't have fish that frequently or are concerned about eating fish too frequently because of mercury that tends to accumulate in certain types of fish and other reasons that people don't like to eat as much fish. And so taking the omega-3 fatty acids, if you have dry skin or dry eyes, may be helpful. Those omega-3s are a necessary part of our diet, and if you're not getting it in your regular diet for whatever reason, then taking the supplements is probably a good idea. Let's take a short break, listen to the news. When we get back, we'll talk about some more eye news, and of course, take your calls.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio 830 KHVH.
It's 76 degrees, partly cloudy in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton-Dennis. Here's what's happening. Funerals are being held today for two of the people killed in last week's shooting rampage at a Colorado movie theater. Mourners at Jessica Gowie's funeral in her hometown of San Antonio are remembering the aspiring sports journalist's energy and life. At Matt McQuinn's funeral in Springfield, Ohio, pastors spoke of the senselessness of shootings that killed 12 people and wounded 58. A friend of Maryland man accused of threatening to shoot up his workplace says he doesn't think the comments were meant to be taken seriously. Mike Cochran describes Neil Prescott as a gentle giant with a sarcastic sense of humor. Police say they found 24 guns and several thousand rounds of ammunition in Prescott's apartment. Nu'uanupali Drive is shut down between Jackass Ginger Pool and Polihiva Place. There are 3 downed trees blocking the road. A Pearl City man in his 20s is dead after crashing his motorcycle on the H1 freeway near the Middle Street overpass. He lost control of the bike and crashed into a guardrail and was thrown from the bike. He died at the hospital shortly after the 10:15 p.m. crash. Police say speed was a factor. A memorial for police officer Chad Morimoto is set for August 11th with a procession beginning at 7 a.m. The funeral will follow at the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints in Kalihi. Morimoto died Monday after crashing his motorcycle during a training exercise in Mililani. A woman who left Ka'ehi Boat Harbor in her skiff yesterday apparently didn't have her drain plug secured. The skiff began taking on water shortly after she took off at 3:30 p.m. The Coast Guard used a 25-foot response boat to pick the woman up and bring her back to shore. Meanwhile, the skiff sank. Sunny, breezy, high in the mid-80s. Tonight, mostly clear, low near 73. Tomorrow, sunny. Currently in Honolulu, 76. I'm Julia Norton-Dennis.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
All right, welcome back, everyone, and you're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show. This is Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're talking about eyes, and we also, for those of you who were up last night watching the Olympic opening ceremonies, probably looking forward to the games, looking forward to watching athletes compete in interesting sports that we don't usually encounter except every 4 years. when the Olympics are on. Interesting how, you know, all of a sudden swimming and gymnastics and all this stuff is quite the rage. And then 4 years go by and people don't pay any attention to swimming and gymnastics and so forth. And so interesting how we have this every four-year fascination with certain sports, whereas other sports we're interested in every day. So speaking of sports, I thought I'd spend a few minutes talking about some of the eye-related issues associated with sports, and particularly as our keiki are out playing sports, we want to make sure that their eyes are well protected from the potential for injuries. Okay, so there are specific eyewear issues that athletes face, and so it's important that people understand that they wear the appropriate eye protection in order to keep themselves safe and healthy while participating in sports. So it says here in an article that I found here, it says almost every sport has situations in which eyes can be injured, but some sports are particularly high risk, and that risk is not always intuitively obvious. Year in, year out, basketball produces the greatest number of ocular injuries. These typically come from elbows and fingers to the face, which can produce moderate to severe eye injuries, from corneal abrasions to retinal detachments and more serious damage to the eyes. Even cycling, another non-contact sport, puts participants at higher risk for injury from airborne debris. Football players who suffer all sorts of other injuries have few eye injuries thanks to the protective masks that they wear on their helmets. Soccer can produce eye injuries as well because soccer players, like basketball players, seldom wear eye protection. Soccer, too, has the potential for moderate to severe ocular injuries. In the worst case, a soccer player can suffer a point-blank kick to the eye or orbit, possibly causing a fracture of the bone around the eye. More often, though, their injuries consist of abrasions of the cornea or retinal damage due to blunt trauma. Baseball and hockey players risk being hit in the head or eye very hard by fast-moving objects. Sight-threatening injuries are possible. Recently, the Vancouver Canucks center Manny Malhotra was hit in the left eye by a puck, which left him with a career-threatening eye injury. Hockey pucks' size and shapes allow them to fit into the orbit, making them particularly dangerous. Fortunately, junior hockey players are now typically required to wear eye protection, but these requirements don't exist at the professional level. And, of course, the kids' role models are playing at the professional level, so the kids don't want to wear eye protection because their role model, the hockey player, professional hockey player, isn't playing, right? So that may be an issue as well. Ultraviolet radiation can also be a major issue for sports participants such as skiers and mountaineers due to higher altitudes and reflections from the snow. Fishermen are bombarded by ultraviolet rays reflected from the water because the eye is set into a relatively deep orbit. Its maximum exposure to UV may not occur when the sun is directly overhead, but rather peak solar exposure tends to occur earlier and later in the day when the solar angle is lower. Similarly, UV from high UV reflective surfaces like water, snow, or sand can magnify a person's exposure, so reflected UV light strikes the eye from below where it's not protected by the brow or the brim of a cap. So UV radiation has been implicated in a variety of ocular conditions, including pterygium, pinguiculum, cataract, and possibly age-related macular degeneration. Okay, so this is an article about protecting your eyes during sports activities. I thought we'd talk a little bit about this because of the Olympics coming up over the next couple of weeks, all this competition going on. It says education is vital here. In a perfect world, all athletes would wear appropriate eye protection. Unfortunately, that's not the world we live in. Basketball players, for example, could reduce the risk of eye injury to near zero by simply wearing the right protective goggles. But how often do you see protective goggles on the basketball court? Many times the only players who wear them are ones who've already had an eye injury because they know it can happen, right? All right, let's see. So what else do we have here? We have information about specific types of eye protections for specific types of sports. And the main thing you want is to make sure that your glasses, if you wear protective glasses or protective goggles, that they meet the standards of the testing organizations that look at this type of thing. And the abbreviation that you'll see on the glasses is the ASTM. So ASTM is going to be the type of standard. And it says that ASTM F803 eyewear is safer than street eyewear for sports activities with impact potential. So if you look for a lens that has that ASTM F803 protection, or you ask your optician about the specific protection, then you want to, that you can get, make sure you have the proper eye protection. So here are the sports that are listed for which eye protection is recommended, and here are some of the types of protection that are recommended. So baseball, softball, youth, batter and base runners, they recommend a face guard attached to the helmet for young people especially. Baseball and softball fielders, it depends on the specific age what they might need. Protection from the UV light when you're outside on the baseball field for a long period of time may be helpful, and you do notice professional baseball players when they play in the middle of the day often do wear sunglasses. Basketball, of course, that is important to wear eye protection because of the potential for pokes and prods from elbows and fingers and fingernails. Bicycling, wearing eye protection in addition to a helmet is a good idea. Boxing is actually doesn't require specific eye protection because you have to be able to be hit in the eye when you're boxing, although you're not supposed to hit someone in certain areas, but the specific eye protection is not recommend or not available for boxing. Fencing, you want to have a protector as well. Field hockey, football, full contact martial arts, actually it's not, there's none really available for that because it's not part of the sport. Ice hockey, lacrosse, protection is a good idea. Paintball, here's one. Paintball is a really important one for eye protection. You know, all kinds of kids lose their eyes every year in paintball injuries because they're not careful and they don't wear their eye protection properly. You know, it's possible to make it very safe, but if you're not wearing the eye protection, it's not going to protect you. And what seems to happen invariably with paintball injuries, you know, it's a common story that we hear in the office, is, gee, you know, my mask got all fogged up. I was in the middle of the field and I couldn't see anything. I couldn't find my way off the field, so I pushed my mask up just to wipe the lenses for a second, and pow, that's when I got hit right in the eye. And this very serious eye injury as a result. And so that's you can't take your mask off or your eye protection off any time when you're on an active paintball field. So that's something to bear in mind. My son plays paintball, and so I don't mind his playing as long as he makes sure to wear that mask no matter what, come hell or high water, as they say. Racket sports, badminton, tennis, paddle tennis, handball, squash, and racquetball, those are a good idea to wear some type of eye protection for those. Soccer, as we talked about before, street hockey, water polo and swimming, you know, swim goggles are helpful if you're going to be in the water for a long time. Water polo, of course, you could be pokes again, or could be hit in the face with the ball, although that's not likely to cause a severe eye injury. And so those are some of the sports that our eye protection is recommended. So I hope everyone enjoys watching the Olympics, and when you go out and try various sports on your own, make it safe, and make sure that if it's a sport that for which eye protection is recommended, that you're wearing the appropriate eye protection. You know, even running or jogging and bicycling, as we talked about, there are things that fly through the air, little cinders, little bits of debris, and those rocks can be thrown up by cars driving by you. And so you probably want to wear some kind of glasses, protective glasses, safety glasses when you're running as well. Also the ultraviolet light. If you're a long distance runner and you're out for an extended period of time, the UV light or the ultraviolet light hitting your eyes whenever you're outdoors is likely to cause damage to the eyes over time. So wearing protective lenses when you run or when you bike or even when you're outdoors that block the ultraviolet light is probably a good idea as well. So that's something that when I go biking, I always wear my sunglasses or my glasses that have the ultraviolet protection built into them. So I think that's important. Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, we're going to do some more eye news and take your calls.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
Doctor, my eyes, tell me what is wrong, 'cause I am blind.
This is the Hawaiian Eye Show. You're listening to Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're talking about eyes. We're going to go to the phones. We've got Don standing by on the line and Kaneohe. Hi, Don. Welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning, Doc. I've got a question. I went to a retina specialist, and he recommend bipublic acid for my eye disease, which is RPE. Have you ever had that drug being used for your patients or anything?
Valproic acid. I know that there was a recent study. Well, for years we've been recommending vitamin A in high doses for people who have retinitis pigmentosa, and I think there was a recent study that talked about adding something additional, and I'm not sure if it was valproic acid or something else. I can't remember the details, but that's something that I'll have to look up. I think that if it's a retina specialist and that's what they recommend, as long as you clear it with your family doctor that there's no other medical reason why you shouldn't use that, then I think I would go ahead.
Yeah, he said that was like a seizure medication for people that have seizures and whatnot.
Yeah, I haven't specifically seen that. I mean, I've seen looking at certain nutrients to help with retinitis pigmentosa, but I'm not sure about that. So that's something that I'll have to look up and see what I can find on that. But you can probably look it up online too and see what the current thinking is about it.
Okay, thanks, sir. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Thanks. All right. So retinitis pigmentosa is a condition that is not common. It's an unusual condition, but there are a fairly significant number of people who are affected. It's a condition where the peripheral part of the retina, which is the seeing tissue in the back of your eye, slowly begins to degenerate and weaken over time, and it results in loss of peripheral vision or side vision over a period of time with a gradual narrowing of the area that you can see. And it can eventually result in tunnel vision, which is very narrow central vision with no peripheral vision at all, or even in complete loss of vision over time. And so the thing about retinitis pigmentosa is that there's no really significant treatment available for it. It seems to be sometimes hereditary, although usually not, and we can't really tell who's at risk to get it and who isn't. And the condition doesn't really respond to drugs in the traditional sense, but there is some evidence that high doses of vitamin A seem to be helpful in slowing the progression of the condition over time. And the vitamin A usually needs to be in a form that's not the usual form that we find vitamin A. Most of the time when we look at it, supplements and so forth, vitamin A is in the form of beta carotene. And that's one form that vitamin A comes in. It also comes in a form called the palmitate form of vitamin A. And it's this palmitate form that seems to be helpful in patients with retinitis pigmentosa. And they need to take very large doses of this palmitate form of vitamin A, much larger than normally you'd expect in a regular vitamin A supplement. So just taking a regular multivitamin doesn't work. You need to take a specially formulated vitamin A supplement for this. It'll be interesting to look up whether valproic acid has been shown to have any significant effect on retinitis pigmentosa as well. The retina specialists in town that I know are all quite well informed and well educated, and So if they're recommending this, there must be at least some evidence somewhere that this may be of some benefit. So that'd be an interesting thing to look up and make a note of that. All right, while we're talking about the retina, let's talk a little bit about diabetes. Diabetes is actually the leading cause of preventable blindness in this country today. In the U.S. today, diabetes is responsible for a significant number of cases of blindness, and particularly what we would refer to as preventable blindness. Most people who have diabetes who have serious eye problems, those problems could have been prevented if they had been caught early. So the key to treating people with diabetes for eye conditions is to catch any eye conditions which need to be treated early on in the process. So screening becomes a critical thing to do in diabetic eye disease. So this is why for people with diabetes, we recommend having your eyes checked every year to make sure that the diabetes is not causing damage or problems to the blood vessels inside the eyes. And we'll talk about what types of problems it causes in the eyes in a minute. But what I do want to stress is that the important thing is to be aware that diabetes can cause problems in the eyes and that many of these problems do not have any symptoms in their early stages. So you may very well have diabetes affecting your eyes in a significant or major way, but it doesn't, but you don't know it. You aren't aware of it because these changes are asymptomatic in their early stages. And we look in the back of the eye and we say, my goodness, you have very serious problems related to the diabetes. And they say, well, what do you mean? I haven't noticed any changes or problems in my vision. And we say, well, yeah, this should have been treated months ago, but they said, but nothing, but I didn't notice a problem. And so that's why screening is so important, is because if you have a problem and you don't know about it, then it can't be treated. But if you know you have a problem, then treatment often is very effective in the case of diabetic eye disease in particular. In the earlier stages, it's more effective. So basically what diabetes does is it causes abnormalities in blood vessels that are of a certain size, what we call mid-sized blood vessels. And these mid-sized blood vessels are found in various parts of our bodies, but they're found primarily in the back of the eye, in the retina, and in the kidneys. So the blood vessels of this size are damaged by diabetes in that the walls of the blood vessels become leaky. And so the walls are not don't have the same strength or water tightness or blood tightness, I guess, that a normal blood vessel would have. So proteins leak out of the blood vessels into the surrounding tissue. Blood or hemorrhages can occur where bleeding out of the blood vessels occurs as well because the walls of the blood vessels are weak. Sometimes they break or leak or create little what we call microaneurysms, which are small enlarged areas in the blood vessels that leak fluid. And that these aneurysms can break or open and cause hemorrhaging or bleeding in the back of the eye. Same thing can occur in the kidneys, and both the eyes and the kidneys are very sensitive to these types of changes in the blood vessels. And as a result, blindness can result from diabetes in its more extreme phases, and kidney failure can result from diabetes in its more extreme phases. And these are two conditions that you really don't want. So you want to be screening for both of those things. And kidney screening is commonly done, and eye screening is commonly done for diabetics. And more we're becoming more successful in educating the primary care doctors who take care of diabetes on an ongoing basis that eye examinations, that kidney examinations, that other examinations of the feet are very important in the health of a diabetic because these are things that can go wrong, that can cause problems. And so in diabetes, when we notice early changes related to the diabetes inside the eye, we look at several factors. We look at how severe the condition is, and we look at what part of the eye the condition is affecting. If the condition is not terribly severe, but it's affecting the part of the eye that's responsible for the sharpest central vision, then that often needs to be treated. Swelling can occur, bleeding into the part of the eye responsible for clear vision called the macula. Sharp central vision occurs in the macula. If there's swelling or edema in the macula, macular edema, that does need to be treated to reduce the chance that there's going to be damage to the vision over time. Because as swelling and bleeding occurs in the retina, it damages that retinal tissue. And if it's damaging the very sensitive macular tissue that's responsible for clear, sharp central vision, then that's not a good thing and that needs to be treated. So typically the treatment for diabetic macular edema was always doing laser to try to close off some of those leaking blood vessels. And the laser was fairly effective in doing that, but it did cause some collateral damage. Recently, we found that some other drugs, which are commonly used in macular degeneration, also seem to be helpful in the treatment of diabetic macular edema. Some of what we call the VEGF, anti-VEGF drugs, a vascular endothelial growth factor, drugs that counteract this growth factor, which occurs in the back of the eye in certain conditions, including diabetes and including macular degeneration. By injecting these drugs directly into the eye, we can also have often have a beneficial effect on changes in the back of the eye. So these anti-VEGF drugs are becoming more popular in the treatment of certain diabetic eye conditions as well. Diabetes can cause also damage to blood vessels throughout the whole back of the eye, not just in the center part of the eye or the macula. And for this type of treatment, this type of problem, often a laser is done to try to reduce the amount of ischemia. Ischemia is decreased blood flow to certain parts of the back of the eye. And by closing off some of the retina tissue, we can often make the existing blood supply work a little bit better. And this often helps to treat certain forms of diabetic retinopathy. And so often a laser out to the peripheral retina can be done to stabilize certain forms of diabetic retinopathy. Bleeding in the eye can occur quite commonly in people with diabetes. And when bleeding occurs in the eye, the blood can damage the tissue inside the eye, can damage some of the structures in the eye. And so when that blood is taking too long to go away or is running the risk of causing damage to the eye, then often a surgical procedure might be done for diabetic eye condition to remove some of that blood, a procedure called a vitrectomy. If there's a hemorrhage in the back of the eye into the vitreous cavity, the vitreous is a gel that fills the inside of the eye that's optically clear. That vitreous gel becomes clouded by blood, and that blood is not clearing out. That's going to affect the vision long term. So that blood needs to be physically cleared out with a vitrectomy procedure, which is done by a retina specialist to remove that vitreous gel in the back of the eye. Well, we've been here now for an hour talking about eyes and eye care, and I've certainly had a lot of fun, and I hope you have too. I'd like to thank Steve for helping out here in the studio, and I'd like to say thanks to all you listeners for making this show work through your calls and through your letters. If you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us, and if you learned something new, you can listen again next week. If you have a question, you can always email it to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer those questions over the air in coming weeks. Check out our website, www.hawaiianeye.com. Subscribe to a podcast so you can get the eye show on a regular basis every week. And also check out lots of information about eyes and eye care at hawaiianeye.com. You can also follow me on Twitter by going to twitter.com and looking for Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, no spaces. See what we're tweeting about, see what we're doing, what kinds of news stories are out there. It's sure been a pleasure talking with you. I'll keep my eyes peeled for you, and I hope you'll keep an eye out for us. You can find us also on Facebook, Hawaiian Eye Center, facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. Thanks for listening. Aloha.
You've been listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020.
or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Glenn Beck,
sending you a message.
Weekdays at 4.
It's all going to be good.
KHBH Honolulu.
I'm here.
Hawaii's home for Fox News.